Welcome to the Manager Tools Podcast for Monday, July 31st, 2006. Hi everyone, this is Michael Ozan and welcome back to Manager Tools. Today's show is part two of our three-part series on resigning. Yeah, I know, probably the only thing that stresses you out more than getting fired, or firing someone else, is the thought of resigning. However, if you have to resign, there is a professional way to do it where you can put your head on your pillow and sleep at night, and impress some people on your way out. Now before we get on with the show, Mark and I wanted to express our appreciation for listeners who nominated us for two categories for the Podcast Awards, Best in Business and the People's Choice Award. We're incredibly honored. And for all those who voted for us during the nomination process, thanks. Now, the voting on the Podcast Awards site started recently and lasts until August 11th. Regardless of whether you vote for Manager Tools, please go over to the site, www.podcastawards.com, and vote for your favorite podcast. There are a lot of dedicated podcasters out there deserving of your vote. It's a great way of showing your appreciation, and they will all very much appreciate it. Okay, with that, let's continue our conversation with Mark and hear how all this resigning stuff works. How about copying stuff when you leave?
This will stun people, Mike, and it really did me over the last few years learning more about this. There actually have been court cases where an employee made copies of some work product that the courts upheld their right to. You know, it's okay to make a CD or two of PowerPoints, work that you'd like to keep. Now, if it's proprietary, if it's business sensitive, if it says confidential on it, and of course nowadays everything does, you better be careful. That means you probably can't take that. And if you're in doubt, don't take it.
Yeah, if it's the two-year strategy or whatever, then you may want to think about that. Let me be clear. Think about not taking it.
Yes, good. Good way to put it. The default ought to be, if I'm uncertain, don't take it.
Agreed.
On the other hand, you can take some contact information of people. The fact that the company provides you that contact information to make it easy to get in touch with them, you can take it. Up to about 50 names you could probably take. Now, if your company has 50 people in it, please don't read that as being you can take all of them. You cannot take all the contact information in the database. If you're worried about taking electronic versions because somehow you think that's more dangerous, fine, print it out and then you can enter it, or enter it nights and weekends in your Trio or your BlackBerry. And by the way, when we say assume you'll lose access immediately, your cell phone may be taken away from you if it's from work. And most people's work phone is their only phone, and you may need another cell phone. I've actually had one person say, I made the mistake of carrying two cell phones into my boss's office one day in advance of when I was going to resign. He looked at me and said, are you going to resign? And without even realizing it, a guy I really loved and worked for and everything else, I immediately blurted out, yes. And it was a day too soon. And then the rest of the conversation was his rather than mine, and I really bungled it. So don't carry around the cell phone too early when you get your personal one, so that if they take your work one away, you'll have something to talk on.
Right. One thing, kind of general rule. I get a little nervous when we start talking about this, so we won't. We'll just give a caveat. We're not giving legal advice here by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
The rule that I've used in the past that seems to have worked out pretty well is that if I'm taking stuff that is related to improving my own future work productivity, for example, if I have, and I did, a template in terms of how I would go about making presentations. I had that on my work computer, but that template was mine. It was a format I used for doing presentations. There's no value to the company in that document. So that's one. So that's one category of stuff that you take. That's fine. If you're starting to copy stuff with the intent to apply it to your new job, i.e., a list of customers, or a strategy document, or any product descriptions, or internal product descriptions that are not public, then I think you're starting to cross the line. That's kind of how improving my taking my individual work products or individual work processes that I may have documented is one thing. Taking company proprietary information is completely unprofessional.
Absolutely. And you're right. We're not giving out legal information. But the fact is, I've had people come to me and say, this one company wants to hire me, in fact, because of where I am now. And I said, well, make sure you pay very close attention to what they're asking of you. Because you never know. If they want you to bring stuff over, boy, you got to be very careful about
that. Yeah, particularly in sales, this is a touchy situation. I'm fully aware of what the standard practices in sales are. I don't necessarily have to agree with them from a professional standpoint. Of course, I'm not a sales guy, so I can say that.
Okay. By the way, we also recommend, you know, it may, the part of the reason it's going to take 2 weeks is you may copy one or two things every night. It's very easy to do that quietly. But you want to be very careful about using the office copier or the printer and leaving stuff there, that somebody else finds, something that would normally not be copied. You have to be cautious about that. And if you have doubts about this, if you're uncomfortable about it, don't do it. Simple as that. We're not suggesting that you should do this stuff if it causes you to question it. You have some legal rights, but we don't want to get into the making legal recommendations. Okay, and that gets us really to the more detailed work-related part of the preparation, which is creating your transition file. First thing in the transition file, actually, let me say this first. This is really, the transition file that you're going to create is really where professionals show themselves to be professionals. One of the signs of a leader, a manager tool leader, is that they lead the team well enough that the team works well even after you're gone. And that is a very high standard. But the steps we're about to suggest really will help the team continue to function well after you've gone. Your transition file folder should start with a key project report or an overview of team activities and status. Probably, for most of us, if it's only one page, it's too short. There should be status spreadsheets, PowerPoint presentation with notes about status, issues, politics that affect the project or the initiative that you're undergoing, relationships that are important, key people that need to be briefed, where they stand, those kind of things. As well, describe what you have planned for the next 90 days. This is really where you earn your money. You're not trying to get your manager up to speed. You're trying to help them do your work for 90 days or longer. It's not enough just to prepare a briefing and saying, this is where we are, and then you have to make all your decisions. You should prepare a briefing saying, this is where we are, and here's what I see happening in the next 90 days. Here are the things that I would recommend. Here's what I think is going to happen. Here's how we would respond to that. And this is how I see it ending, or this is what the key next deliverables are, and when at some point the key processes that we're engaged in will change, and then you'll have to take over completely. I think it's critical that you look at your calendar day by day and week by week, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit.
Okay.
So that's the key project report or the key team report. It may very well be several pages long. And now we're beginning to see why 2 weeks is necessary.
This is work.
Now, as well, prepare performance files on your team. Now, look, this is very closely related to the performance reviews that you're going to write, but I still recommend it be separate because reviews so often are limiting in what they ask for and what they ask about. It's a numerical ranking, and it's should this person get promoted, or what are the developmental needs, or so on, and maybe they only have room for a sentence or two. I recommend a simple one-pager for everybody. A document to this effect is going to be available for our premium subscribers. In addition to, obviously, the transcripts and a PowerPoint of the show notes for this particular show. Just to make it simple, a template that you can fill in name and position and so on, and then talk about strengths and weaknesses and what you're working on. Very, very powerful. I admit I did not invent that one. It came from a great manager I used to work for years ago. Next, and this is the one where everybody hates me, but it's it's absolutely the right thing to do.
Oh.
Yeah, you've got to write interim reviews for everybody on your team.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah, so if you just gave them reviews 3 months ago, it's time to write reviews for everybody again.
This is a point we made earlier. We're really not suggesting that everybody go out and resign. So for those, you know, corporate VPs and CEOs, et cetera, we are in fact not. We are doing you a favor by doing this podcast because we're going to make the hurdle so high for people to resign that they'll never resign. You can thank us later. Send us a donation.
You can thank us later. That's beautiful. It's tough. Doing things well takes extra effort.
Yeah, being a professional is not easy.
Yes. If it were easy, everybody would be doing it, and the pay would be a lot less.
Oh, I'm glad it's hard.
Okay. This is hard work, but I believe it's necessary work. It's a way to send a message to your team that you're willing to spend extra time on them, that you're not going to leave them in the lurch, that the new manager, whoever it might be taking over, he or she will be given a full, not just a clean, but a full slate of information that will allow them to do a great job so that your team, every member of your team, is not hurt by the fact that you have to make this career move. But a manager who leaves in the middle of a year-long review process and his team has achieved some significant milestones and they get a new manager in the middle of the year who doesn't know anything about the milestones, particularly if somebody's from outside the company. And always when you hire from outside, the first review that somebody does is horrible. You're essentially jilting your team out of 6 months worth of development and potential raises and potential promotions, and it's absolutely unacceptable. And I'll tell you what, if I were your manager and you came to me and resigned, said I give you 2 weeks notice, I said that's great, I really appreciate it, I want you to stop doing what you're doing. If you hadn't done any preparation, I'd say fine, I want you to stop doing what you're doing. I'm now assigning Joe, who works for you, as your successor. He'll come meet with me and you have 5 days to write reviews on everybody. I recommended that once, and the manager called me after he said that, and the person wanted to quit effective immediately. And I said, look, that's fine. If he wants to quit immediately, he forfeits all of his pay and allowances associated with the fact that he's been here all that time. And that got him to finish the reviews. Now, it meant that the manager...
One point here is that if you've done these things in the 2 weeks prior to announcing your resignation, and when you resign, you review this, what you've done with your boss, the fact is they will probably will perceive you as much more professional. You will surprise them to some degree. And if you're counting on that extra 30 days, for example, of transition period, and you don't want to be escorted out the door, the chance of that just went up considerably. Because you've proved yourself professional, and it's not too hard to extrapolate the fact that you'll probably behave professionally over the next 30 days.
Yep. Yeah, it will get you all kinds of leeway, all kinds of opportunity. In fact, I will talk about this later, but there's a manager that actually was escorted out the door and, you know, seriously thought about not sharing the information that he had prepared with the manager that he was resigning to because of how he was treated. But being able to say, look, before you let me go, I've got all this work I've done to prepare for the transition. I wouldn't hand it over blindly. I'd want him to know what I was giving him. But I think you're absolutely right. Leaving people unreviewed for the period of time you were their manager is a black mark at the end of your career with this organization, period.
Yep.
Okay, next, you've got to prepare instructions for your absence. Separate from projects, separate from deliverables, here's where I get into. Review your calendar day by day, week by week, for the next 3 months. Remember, you're going to be there for a month, so they need something after you're going to be there. They'll be able to ask you for the next month. Describe activities that you have coming up that need to be covered, replacements that need to be sent to various places because you probably won't be doing any travel in the next month, delegations that need to be made, reports to be prepared, the presentations, all that kind of stuff, day by day, week by week, and prepare a chronology for your boss so that he or she can choose how to delegate those on an interim basis to whoever takes your place or how they spread them out across your team or your peers. Also, in addition to every employee, every person on your team getting a one-page performance file, there also should be a one-page interim successor document. It's a simple why Bob should be the interim manager. You should describe strengths and weaknesses, why you choose Bob to be in the role. It may very well become a promotion document for Bob. It's a very powerful thing. And if you've prepared it in advance rather than hastily after the fact, it will be a lot more persuasive, a lot more effective, and will really help Bob. Or if it doesn't do that, it's just going to ease your boss of one more decision. And probably what will happen is they'll just say, in light of all the things that just suddenly popped in my head, at least this is one thing I can do. Fine. Send Bob in and I'll talk to him and tell him he's interim.
Yeah. The other thing it does is it eases the concern a little bit on your boss in terms of what you're going to do relative to departing and ripping everybody worthwhile out of the organization and taking him with you.
Exactly. and that's a very real, particularly as you get higher in the organization, and in certain industries it's more prevalent than others, but that can be a hugely worrisome thing for executives a couple of levels up. Next is making those lunch appointments. So you should be filling up your calendar over the next 6 weeks with lunch appointments with people that you want to have lunch with, or people you want to stay in touch with. We're going to talk more about this one later. We'll go into more detail.
Right, and you're not telling them why. I mean, you're just scheduling the lunches.
Right.
And
yeah, that's the key. That's the key. You're just going to make lunch appointments. Hey, I haven't talked to you in a while. Let's have lunch. Okay? Lastly, tell no one. Horseman's sixth law, there are no secrets.
Well, I mean, surely you can tell your, you know, your trusted second command, right? I mean, come on.
No. Other than your spouse.
How about my friend in a completely different department?
Nope.
No, so no one.
What about your admin?
Your admin?
Nope. Nobody.
Wow.
Period.
You're,
spouse. That's it.
You're hardcore.
Mike, think of it this way. How many people at the acquiring firm already know?
Oh, a lot.
Let me tell you. I don't know. 50.
Oh, yeah.
How many of those are talking to recruiters, talking to friends of yours at your company? Yeah. It's already out there. You're already at risk. The only thing you're doing by telling somebody is making it happen immediately.
Right.
Any grace period you can get, you should take advantage of. It's none of your business until you tell your boss.
Right. And you know, not to inflate egos, but if any manager resigns, it's big news. People want to know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly right. Yeah. So what you're getting at is that this rumor has legs, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It spreads. It's wildfire. Exactly right. Yeah. You probably think of yourself as just a cog in the big system. That's not the way people around you think. If you're a manager, people pay attention.
Well, it's just to expand on a little bit, it's more than that. It's just gossip. The fact is, when a manager resigns, a vacancy opens up. The whole power, you know, there's a power vacuum that's going to occur. And so people are interested in it for very, very selfish reasons. Like, they may want your job. Or they may want the job of the person who's going to get your job. I mean, that...
Yeah. I it is amazing to me. Well, I had somebody tell me the other day when I made a comment about... The Apprentice on TV and how it just shocked me that people were thinking they were learning about the business world from The Apprentice. And they said, well, you can actually learn a lot. If it's not from The Apprentice, you could learn from Survivor. And I thought, dear Lord, people think that that kind of backstabbing and false collaboration and false relationship creation in order to win is something that works in the corporate world. I want those people to work for me so I can have the specific and distinct joy of fire in them.
Did you not see the Survivor one where the guy in charge of one particular tribe was doing one-on-ones with their folks every week?
I missed that.
You missed
one.
That? Oh, you gotta watch more TV, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'll get me somewhere. I'm stunned that people act as if there are not repercussions. And there's so much of a selfishness in a lot of our culture, Mike. And I don't think this is just U.S. culture. I believe this is globally becoming more true. And I think people, the definition of a professional includes someone who thinks about their role in an organization rather than just about themselves.
Okay, that's the end of part two. We'll finish this topic up next week. In the meantime, please join us on the website and on the discussion forums. If you haven't gone there lately, you'll want to. Lots of interesting things happening in manager tools land. And, well, more on that to come shortly. Also, our monthly registered podcast will be probably out by the time you hear this. I know, I've said it before, but I really mean it this time. So don't miss out on that one as well. If you're not registered, it's free and it's easy. Just visit the website at www.manager-tools.com. Well, that's it, folks. Thanks, and we'll talk again next week. So long.